It's here and now. Kurt Cobain and Nirvana exploded onto the music scene with Smells Like Teen Spirit in 1991. The song was on the band's second album, Nevermind, and it was a blockbuster commercial success, unlike Nirvana's final album, In Utero. This is Serve the Servants, which came out 20 years ago, less than a year before the band's lead singer, Kurt Cobain, committed suicide. There is a new box set out today to mark the 20th anniversary of In Utero, and Here and Now pop culture critic Renee Graham joins us to talk about it. Renee, welcome.
Hi, Jeremy.
So I know you're a big Nirvana fan, but explain the significance of this new re-release of this album.
Well, the remarkable thing about In Utero is this was the follow-up album to Nevermind, which was Nirvana's breakthrough. And a lot of people didn't think this album was ever going to happen because the band became so big, they really fractured afterwards. Exacerbating the problem as well was Cobain was really deep into his heroin addiction at that time. And it just seemed like the band was so overwhelmed and there were so many problems that this third album might never come out.
And Cobain and other members of Nirvana thought that Nevermind was too polished. They wanted a rougher sound for the next album, maybe even a sound that alienated people that loved Smells Like Teen Spirit. Did they get what they wanted?
Well, that was a big piece of this. You know, they felt that Nevermind became too poppy. You know, that wasn't the sound they wanted. They wanted a much harder, much more aggressive sound. So out went producer Butch Vig, and in came Steve Albini, who'd produced the Pixies and PJ Harvey and Helmet. And, you know, he was the producer they wanted because he was known for having this big, aggressive, brutal sound. And that's what they wanted. And I think in some ways, they really wanted to separate out their fans from the real fans, the people who were just following a trend.
Well, what's a good example of that aggressive sound that they got?
There's a song called Milk It. And I think you, from the minute you hear it, you know, it's nothing. It's unlike anything else on Nevermind. And it gives you an idea of what they want to do with this album.
Now, Renee, there are some original mixes for In Utero that were not released before but are part of this new box set.
Well, that was the tricky thing. They hired Steve Albini to be the producer for In Utero, and then when the album was finished, the label, Geffen, decided, you know what, there's nothing really commercially viable here. So they brought in Scott Litt, who had worked a lot with REM, to kind of smooth out the edges on a couple of songs they thought they could release as singles. And those two songs were All Apologies and Heart-Shaped Box.
Two of the relatively well-known songs on that album.
Yes. I mean, these were the two singles. These were the songs that people really gravitated to initially. There's not a great deal of difference between the Albini mixes and the Litt mix, but what you do hear in the Albini mix is this huge tsunami of sound that almost completely drowns out Cobain's vocals on the chorus of All Apologies. But I don't think it's that different, and it's really good to finally hear these songs the way that the band always wanted them to be.
There are a lot of unreleased songs on here. What's one that really knocked you out?
What's got a lot of attention has been this song called Forgotten Tune, and it's really just an instrumental that kind of sounds like early 90s Metallica without all the bombast. You know, there's not a lot there. It's certainly not as interesting as the song You Know You're Right, which came out on a box set just less than 10 years ago. So I think that, you know, a lot of people are talking about that, but I think what's going to stand out for this will be those Albini the original mixes of the Steve Albini songs, but also Marigold, which is a solo demo by Dave Grohl, now known for Foo Fighters, who then was the drummer of Nirvana. And you didn't really hear him sing that much in solo, so it's really extraordinary to hear him doing this song, and that's from 1990.
some of the latest from Nirvana's new box set of In Utero, and you're listening to Here and Now. And another song that you mentioned that I think a lot of people will remember is Heart-Shaped Box. The new box set includes a live concert that was recorded in Seattle in 1993. Let's listen to a little bit of Heart-Shaped Box. Did you ever get to see Nirvana live?
I blew it. I had a chance to see them and then didn't go, thinking, oh, I'll go see them later. And of course, there was no later, because Kurt Cobain killed himself about 6 or 7 months after In Utero was released. So no, never had that opportunity. But when you hear them live, even on record, you get the sort of raw, seductive power of what they can do. And what's great about them live is there's no record executives telling them, no, that's too harsh, and no, you can't do that. So the songs really expanded and really broadened in a way that they really couldn't do on record. And they do the thing that great bands do when they perform live. You get it all. And that was what's really, you know, important when they have these box set releases, to get that, so people remember just how good this band really was.
Would you prefer to listen to something that was recorded live versus something that was recorded in a studio?
Sometimes, yeah, I think in this case, definitely, because even though I like the studio versions, when you hear them live, the songs are longer, they're ragged. Kurt Cobain, who loved wordplay, he's always sort of changing lyrics and sort of twisting words and bending them to invert their meanings, and he did a lot of that when they performed live. You have a line like the end of All Apologies, which is, on the record, all in all is all we are, but when he sings it live, he sings all alone is all we are, which really changes the meaning of that song, which also became kind of an elegy for him after he died. So yeah, I think the live stuff really, really, you know, makes this box set worth it.
Well, Renee, what song should we go out on?
Let's go out on radio-friendly Unit Shifter, which is one of those songs that really had the Albini touch on it. It's loud, it's aggressive, it's got great lyrics, it's got all that wonderful wordplay that Kurt Cobain was so good with, and I think it's just a perfect example of what he could do and what we lost.
Renee Graham is Here and Now's pop culture critic. Renee, thanks as always.
Thanks, Jeremy.
And Robin, as I look through the glass, as we're hearing all this Nirvana music, I can see a big smile on the face of our producer, Alex Ashlick, who's a huge Nirvana fan. You can read his thoughts on what the band meant to him at hereandnow.org.
And many of you have already sent your all-time favorite songs. Bridget Trinka said Heart-Shaped Box, Kurt Sherpley, Negative Creep, Tim Broussard, Lisa Broderick Cohen, and every high school reunion of a certain era voted for Smells Like Teen Spirit. Send us yours, facebook.com/hereandnowradio.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art Boston, with a new performance season. Miranda July, Carol Armitage, and Bill T. Jones. More at icaboston.org.